Now, Philemon verse 6, and I'm going to share some thoughts today, and it's going to help us understand some things about how we activate things. How many know that when you have certain chemicals, when you put them together, it activates something? I'm not a chemist. Maybe somebody can help me. If you've got one element and you put something else, it's an activator. It'll sit there dormant. This one chemical will sit here dormant, but if I put something else in it, boom, it activates, right? And so this scripture verse here is going to show you something about how we can activate the promises of God in our lives. And this particular scripture verse here says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the King James version of the Bible. Let me read this in something else that maybe is a little more modern. The Amplified Bible says, "And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in ours, in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory." This is another translation. It's called the Laubach translation. It says, "I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ." Now, I'm going to read some notes from a writer. His name is Rick Renner. He's a Greek scholar, and I'm not trying to make this a Greek lesson or have it go over our heads. But I've extracted something that will help us understand a little bit what this particular verse means. And I'm just going to ask, don't tune out on me, because we're going to go somewhere with this, and it's going to help you understand how this applies to you in your very daily life. In your daily life. With everything that you do. And you may think, well, how does that, I don't get it. Well, you'll get it. He writes these notes from a book called Sparkling Gems. And it's a daily devotional that I use. And he has two volumes, volume 1 and 2. It's called Sparkling Gems. And he highlights this particular scripture verse in one of those days. He said the word effectual in the Greek is the Greek word energeo, E-N-E-R-G-E-O. It is where we get the word energy. However, in this verse, the word energeo carries the idea of something that has suddenly become energized or activated. So, let me read this again. Something that has become energized or activated. It's not just effectual. It says here that the communication of thy faith, that means you speaking faith, does what? May become effectual. It may become activated and energized. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. So when you know who and what God thinks about you, and he says you're a brand new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, everything's brand new about you, when you embrace that and you speak it and say, no, that doesn't pertain to me anymore. I'm brand new. God has changed me. When you speak that, it does what? It energizes and activates the Word of God, and it does what? It begins to change you. because the Word of God is the power of God. The Word of God has the power of God in it to do what? Change something. And when I speak it in faith, it does what? It activates the power of God. It's like these two chemical elements. When I speak it, it activates the Word of God. This Word will just lie dormant. It'll lie on your table. It won't do anything. But when I take it into my heart and I receive it and I believe it and I speak it, it causes the power of God to go into operation. This Word is God-breathed. It's inspired. And so, let me just expand on this. And I'm reading his comments here, Rick Renner. He said, Paul's words could actually be rendered that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated by what? By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So we've got to, first of all, we've got to know what the Word of God says about us, and that's why reading these books on righteousness, reading about who you are in Christ, then being knowledgeable of that, faith comes. But faith, you know, think about this in Jesus' ministry. Anybody who's read the Gospels and has read the book of John, it says the power of God was present to heal those that were present. Let me ask a question. Did it heal everybody? No. Because they didn't believe. It was present to heal, and they did not take it. You know, think about this for a moment. If I came to you, I'm going to walk over here to my dear friend here, and I said, here's some money, here's a wad of 20s, and you'd say, here, and she'd say, thank you very much, gladly receive that, right? Now, I'm going to take it back because this was an example, but I'm not an Indian giver here, but if she took that money and she said, I received that, and she said, thank you, and she stuck it in her purse and never did anything with it, would it benefit her?
No.
Nope. No. Wouldn't benefit her. And I could say, glory to God, I got money. Yay, I got money. And you never spent it. It wouldn't help you. And that is the same thing where the Word of God is concerned. You can believe something and never activate it. You can believe that you're healed. You can believe that you're prosperous. You say, oh yes, I'm prosperous. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm saved. And never say anything and never activate, never release faith. How does one release faith? By what you say. What you believe, you stand around people long enough and they'll tell you what they believe. How? With their mouth. They'll talk about what bothers them. They'll talk about what upsets them. They'll talk about a whole lot of stuff. And what's in your heart, what you believe, is what you're going to say. It's going to be what you talk about. And so that's no different where the Word of God is concerned. The difference is, and I'm sharing that because I'm going to show you a point here with all of this. We'll go back and I'll share this. Let me use another example. This example about energizing something is no different. How many have a car? Or you want a car, maybe you want a car. But let me use this example. You have a car, it's sitting in the driveway, it's gassed up, I got a nice engine in my car. It's spunky. But it do me no good if I don't stick the key in the ignition, turn the key, and do what? Energize it. Activate the engine. That car can sit in the driveway, and I can dust it and clean it and swoon all over it and enjoy it and say, look at my car. Hey, it's like the money. I got the money in the pocket, but I'm not activating it. I'm doing nothing with the money. I'm doing nothing with the key that I have. I've got to turn it in the ignition, turn the key to activate the engine for it to do what? Benefit me. And the Word of God will not benefit you until you find out what's in here and you believe it and begin to embrace it and think about it and meditate about it, on it, and then do what? Speak it. And begin to say, this is what God thinks about me. This is what He said about me. I'm brand new. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. The blood of Jesus has healed me. I'm delivered from darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you begin to do what? Release God's power. And it begins to change your thinking about who you are. Amen. So let me expand on this a little bit. I'm going to read this again. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual or activated or energized by how? The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to further read some of his notes. He said the word acknowledging in the Greek is from the Greek word epignosis. Now that's not a disease. That's it's just a Greek word. It's called epignosis, and this is what it means. It means it describes a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. That's what it means. This is a person so sure of the information that when he speaks, he does so with confidence and boldness. So what does that mean? This isn't something you just get by, you know, once in a while going to church. This doesn't mean by something that you turn on the TV and hear somebody else talk about the Word of God. This isn't something that you kind of assimilate while you're sleeping. This means an intensive, well-instructed, deep knowledge of the facts. This is a person that has what? Studied the Word of God. And this is not beyond you, because God will work with you where you're at. If you just know a little bit and you begin to take that in and believe it and speak it, it begins to change your circumstances. Please don't say, well, this is beyond me. This is too high up. This is way beyond me. No, God operates and deals with each one of us wherever we're at. He's looking for a little bit of faith and something that we can reach out to God with. So here, this word depicts a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. Paul is letting us know that it is essential for you to possess a knowledge of exactly who you are in Christ. That's one. A knowledge of what Jesus has purchased in your redemption. What did he purchase? I don't know. I'm not sure. And that's how the devil takes advantage when you don't know. You know, in just life, people will take advantage of other people because you don't know. And how many have been taken advantage of and they weren't kind enough to tell you, oh, well, you know, if you do dot, 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 you wouldn't have to do dot, 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 dot. But how many know when you know a little bit of information, you're armed with that information? And people can't take advantage of you. We all know that, just in life. Well, you've got an adversary called the devil. And he's come to do what? Steal and to kill and destroy you. because he hates God. And he hates who lives in you if you're a brand new creature. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. So when God sees you, he sees you as the body of Christ. He sees you with Christ in you. And the devil hates you. He hates what you stand for. But if you don't know who you've become, he takes advantage of that. And we just walk around life defeated because we don't know what God has done. We don't know what Christ has done for us. And again, it says here, a knowledge of every good thing that God has placed in you by Jesus Christ, a knowledge of all the truths that is so concrete and unshakable that you are immovable in what you think and believe. So that means if somebody comes up and tries to dump some garbage in your lap and tells you, you're this, you're that, you don't know this, you don't have that, you'll never get this, you'll go, I'm sorry. No, that's not me. That's not what God has said about me. I'm sorry. Goodbye. And you're unshakable and immovable in what God has said about you. That's what this word by acknowledging means. It means to know exactly what God has promised. And you're unshakable and immovable with that. And see, how does that come about? By knowing who you've become in Christ. That's what this little book that I gave you is going to help you. It's going to help you understand what God has done for you. It's so important. So here's the thing. Before you can confess the truth, you must first know the truth. You got to know it. Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You can see just exactly here that the communication of thy faith may become activated and energized by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. That's just exactly almost what Joshua was saying. He's saying, don't let this book depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Meditate on it day and night. Observe to do it. So here's a point I'm going to make. Many people who know the truth remain in bondage or trapped because they never align their mouth with the truth. Instead of speaking what God says about them, they ridicule themselves, they put themselves down and speak badly about themselves. That's mostly people, even in church. People talk badly about themselves, they ridicule themselves, and they never align their mouth with the Word of God. They possess all the potential that God has placed inside them, but they never experience that potential. This is what we're talking about with the money and with the car. You've got the potential in you, but you never realize it because you don't speak what God has said about you. And they never experience that potential because their mouths have never sparked or activated those spiritual blessings into becoming manifested realities. In other words, it doesn't become a reality in your life because you don't activate the promises of God. And I speak this to myself because I may have a victory in one area, but I may not be working it in another area. We all have areas in our life where we haven't embraced a truth and we're slack. You know, I heard this motivational speaker. He was a Christian motivational speaker. He came to the church years ago. He said something that I'll never forget. He said, where there's lack, there's slack. How many people go to the gym? Can't get in these pants. Where there's lack, there's slack. You don't exercise. and there's some results. And the same thing in the Word of God. When you slack off in areas, there's lack. You don't realize the full potential of what God has paid for through Christ. I mean, that's just the truth. And we have to embrace it and just say, you know what? That's me. I'm not measuring up in this area. I'm not feeding enough on the Word of God. I'm not speaking the Word of God in this area. And, you know, sometimes people will say things like this. Well, maybe God doesn't want me to have this. Baloney. That's not true. When it comes to your health, when it comes to your prosperity, when it comes to your spiritual growth, He wants everything that He's paid for you. And the only reason we don't have it is because we're not spending enough time meditating in the Word of God, because that's just exactly what Joshua said. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you'll have good success. So if we're finding an area that we're not having good success in, we need to look at that and say, well, maybe I'm not meditating enough in the promises of God, and I'm not embracing it, and I'm not speaking it enough. So this here answers questions for me, and I trust also for you. But think about this. We are in covenant with God. We're in relationship with God through His blood. And that's just what has happened. Now I'm going to ask you to turn over for just a few minutes. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you would, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and let's look at this. And this is a familiar scripture. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And the Amplified translation says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. What does that mean? That means the real me is not this body. You know, when we look at Genesis, it says that God made man in His image and likeness. And John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. And that makes us a spirit. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, we're a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in this body. What does that mean? My spirit is the real me. So when He says He is a new creature, He is the spirit, is brand new. You know, you accepted Christ. You ask Him to come into your heart. He didn't change your body. You know, if you're tall, you're still tall. If you're heavy, well, you may want to lose some weight, but, you know, you're still heavy, or you're thin, or whatever it is, right? So that didn't change the outward appearance. It changed the inward. And the soul, if we have some goofy thinking that needs to be changed, it's still goofy. It's still not fixed yet. It hasn't been transformed. It hasn't been renewed or changed. But God has changed us. And I like here, if you continue reading in verse 18, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ. See, that's what it says. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that means not holding their sin against them, their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, verse 21 is a very important verse. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's important. Who knew no sin? Jesus knew no sin. He was sinless. That what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the minute we accepted Christ, we are and have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. I like some of these here, these other translations. This particular translation called the Letters Translation, it says, the Father took the Son, who never had any evil in him, and laid the evil of the universe on him. So Jesus became evil. He became sin. God laid the sin of mankind on Jesus. So for what? So that when justice, all the sin had been paid for, we were released. It says we went to the cross, we went to hell with him. I mean, we didn't physically go, but our sins went. When they were paid for, Jesus was released, and he overcame the devil. He was raised from the dead. It says he was the firstborn from the dead. So we can see here that we've become brand new creatures. And let me just kind of wrap this up here. What are the reasons why? I'm going to give you two reasons why we don't, and this applies to all of us, because we're growing in Christ. It says, what is it that limits our acting upon the word and taking our place in Christ? What is it that holds us from taking advantage of our righteousness in Christ? We know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that God is the strength of our lives. We know that we have his ability. See, knowing it is one thing. Doing something and acting on it is something else. We know that he is our sufficiency to meet every crisis in our lives. We know that his word and our lips will heal the sick, strengthen the weak, awaken the unsaved to their condition and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. All this we know. Why are we so slow to act? You might ask that question. And we all have fallen into that. Why are we slow to act on some things? Here's reason number one. Could be an unrenewed mind. We're not convinced. We're not absolutely assured of something. Because when faith comes, let me ask a question. When you are convinced about something in life, you talk about it. And you tell everybody, I'm doing this. I'm going here. I'm buying this. I'm going here. Because you're convinced. When you're convinced of the word of God, you speak about it. You talk it. So, how do you become convinced? Meditating in the word of God. Thinking about it. So after one is born again and comes into the inheritance of grace, our minds are not in harmony with our recreated spirit. Our spirit has been made brand new, but our minds have not been changed yet. They haven't been renewed to what? The word of God. So my soul... Think about this. We're a tripart being. We live in this body. I am a spirit, but I have a soul. My soul is what? That are the emotions of us. My spirit is my connection with God. God lives in my spirit. He communicates with my spirit. But your spirit operates in this earth realm through your soul. And your soul operates through your body. What you think about, you say, I'm going over here. So your soul tells your body, I'm going over here. Your emotions. So your soul operates through your body, but your spirit man operates through this soul. So think about it. If your soul has not been renewed, it's not in harmony with your spirit. Your heart could say, I'm brand new, but your soul says, yeah, but. Right? Isn't it true? Your heart could say, boy, we're going to get this, but your soul starts saying, but think about this and this and this and this, and you'll never have that. So what happens? Your soul is not in harmony with your spirit, and your soul begins to do what? Dominate. And you begin to do what? Talk what your soul says, what your thinking is. And you begin to communicate and say that instead of really what's in your heart. There's a battle. And that's why the scripture says, casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself, what? Against the knowledge of God. Who? Because when we know the knowledge of God, it can't exalt itself. The word exalts itself. And it's in harmony with our spirit, and we do what? We speak the word of God. But when something else exalts, when conditions exalt and things exalt, then we talk about that. That's one of the reasons why we don't experience all the potential that's been purchased for us. That's one reason, an unrenewed mind. The other reason is because our senses rule our spirits. Fear and unbelief dominate, and we're afraid to take our place in Christ. These are reasons. So that's why I share these particular truths. And I'm going to close here because it's a lot I've shared today. Some of it you're hearing for the first time, and probably 10 minutes in you go, yeah, that's nice, thank you very much, but I've got all of these things that I'm facing. See, that's how when you become renewed in your thinking, you begin to face the crises of life differently. You don't look at the impossibilities. You look at the possibilities through Christ, through his word, and the shed blood that's been purchased. Sometimes we don't realize just exactly the magnitude of what Jesus did and what he purchased. And we don't embrace it, or we don't understand it. That's why when it says the acknowledging, the more we study the word of God, the more we meditate on it, the Holy Ghost, you know, he's such a gentleman, he will begin to show you things where you're at, not way up here. I don't even understand what he's talking about. I'm telling you, in my babyhood, he spoke baby talk to me. You understand what I mean by that? He began to talk to me just exactly in ways that I could understand, in some ways what I would call almost infantile, just blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, wow, I see that. He's not going to speak over your head that's something you don't understand. If you will just take the time to say, God, I don't understand this word. Help me. Show me what you've done for me. Oh, he's looking for that opportunity. He's saying, okay, I'll begin to show you. And you begin to do just like Adam, walk and talk with God. Walk and talk every day. God, I need your help. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him. And it says what? He'll direct your paths. So those truths are so important. And to me, they're foundational. You can never grow too much to go back and reflect on these truths and begin to understand what's been purchased. I think we're going to be in glory land, in heaven. I think God is going to, through the eternity, is going to show us all that Christ did for us. I think it's so much more than what we even, you know, can grasp. But we're grasping it. Amen. And I know this is a lot for some, but I'm not going to confess that. I'm going to say you're getting it. You're going to take the little bit that you've gotten and take it to heart. And look at the circumstances in your life and say, God, show me how to address these crises that I'm facing. Show me how. With you, I can do it. What God is looking for is us to do what? Trust him. Look to him for guidance. Look for him for help. That's what he's looking for. Amen.